to us. So we made reference to the fact, and it's interesting, I didn't go into that this morning, but it's interesting that Job is one of the characters that kept referring to God in this physical sense. And it's almost like a yearning, because it is at times when we need the Almighty God that we call upon Him. And if we can remember Job, then Job was really in a dire strait with all the challenges that he was going through. And so it is little surprise that Job would refer to Almighty spiritual God. And he would, like in Job chapter 13 and verse 24, speak about the face of God. Job chapter 3 and verse 24. Then we see his reference to the arm of God in Job chapter 40 and verse 9. And again, in chapter 19 and verse 21, he refers to the hands of God. And, well, the same passage of Job 40 and verse 9, he actually refers to the voice of God. But Job was not the only author or person who pulls on this, because we have references to God's eyes in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 12. And in several places, including Psalm 130 and verse 2, referring to the ears of God. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, the mouth of God. And so it becomes clear, and it's rich, and probably at another occasion, we can actually look, we can take the lesson from the upper limbs of God to the head of God and look at the face, the ears, the mouth, the voice of God and see some of the lessons that we can get from that. But today we looked at the fact that we see the fingers of God. And not only the finger, but we spent most of the time talking about the hands or the arms. Of God. And one of the points we made this morning was that the arm of God is powerful and strong. God's hand is a mighty hand. And the children of Israel would have experienced this, the mighty and powerful and valiant hand of God. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15, I didn't get into this, we will recall that that passage talks about carrying the children of Israel out of Egypt. Let's have that passage read.
And remember that thou was
a
servant in the land of Egypt. And that the Lord thy God
brought thee out thence
through a mighty hand
and by a stretched out arm. And so we are seeing the mighty and powerful working of God. Because, you know, we probably have gotten so used to this story because we were exposed to it from when we were children. When the Red Sea was divided and it allowed the children of Israel to walk through on dry land. That was a mighty and powerful act. You know, and you know, for in this account, it went on to talk about for this reason. Therefore,
the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day.
And he's saying, you children of Israel, because of this experience, then you are going to be keeping the Sabbath. All right? And, you know, this a similar account is made in Joshua. I'm going to read this as well. Joshua chapter 4, verse 23 through 24. Referring to the same event of the Red Sea and the children of Israel being saved.
Mm-hmm. 23 to 24.
Joshua chapter 4, verses 23 and 24.
Joshua 4. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you,
yeah,
until ye were passed over,
yes,
as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us, mm-hmm, until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of God, mm-hmm, of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever.
All right, so not only the Red Sea, but even the crossing of Jordan, we saw the mighty hand of God at play. And so we recognize that when God is powerful enough, he's mighty enough to do great things for us. But as we highlighted this morning, while the mighty hand of God is present, we have to be careful. You see, the mighty hand of God brings with it much blessings. When the hand of God is with us, then we can walk boldly. We can walk confidently because we know that God is on our side. But equally, we need to be concerned, because if that mighty hand of God is not with us, then it can bring with it much calamity. You know, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so we do not want to play around with God. And so even though, and we highlighted earlier, that when we do not have God with us, it can bring much despair and hopelessness. The converse is true, that when God is with us, we are in a better place. And we looked at the story of Ruth, and I hope it was for you as encouraging as it was for me. Because great things can happen when we have the mighty hand of God working for us. But can I tell you that the hand of God is against those who would pervert the right ways of God? Those who would pervert, who would change what God has said, will not enjoy God's blessing, but in fact will meet his wrath. Acts chapter 13, verse 10 through 11 highlights this point. Acts chapter 13, verses 10 through 11.
And said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief.
All right, to give you a little background here, well, let us go back to verse 8. Step up to verse 8. Or verse 6.
Verse 6. But Elymas, the sorcerer.
Verse 6.
Oh, verse 6.
Go back a little more.
And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus.
Okay, so the apostles were here and they came upon a Obia man, all right, a false prophet. Continue.
Which was the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God.
So Barnabas and Saul was there doing God's will, as we should. And they were teaching this man, and the man had a good desire. The man's desire was to hear the word of God. Isn't that beautiful? He wanted to hear the word of God. But verse 8 now. But
Elymas.
Who was Elymas again? That false teacher. Yes.
But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith.
So here it is, that this man wanted to hear the word of God. And this false teacher came now to sidetrack it. Jump down to verse 10 now, so you get now the background. Verse 10.
And said, "Oh, full of all subtlety."
All right, so this is Paul now talking back now to the false teacher, and he says,
"Oh, full of all subtlety and mischief." All
right, so deceit and trickery. Yes, read.
Thou mischief. Thou child of the devil.
You're a child of the devil.
Thou enemy of all righteousness. Wilt thou not
where
see?
Where there's righteousness, you are against it. You are the enemy of righteousness.
Wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?
When you try to take away a person from following the faith, you are perverting the right ways of the Lord. And now,
behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee.
And this is the point. When we strive, when we cause anybody to get diverted from the faith, the body of teaching, the doctrine of Christ, when a person wants to become a follower of Christ, when a person is striving to do what the Almighty God wants him to do, and we in any way divert such a person so that they don't hold on to that faith, then we are perverting the ways of the Lord, and we are going to have the hand of God working against us. Behold, the hand of the Lord
is upon thee.
But it's not in a good way. The hand of the Lord is going to be working against us. In fact, let's read further and see what happened.
And thou shalt be blind.
God will blind you.
Not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness.
Darkness will follow you.
And he,
which is not a good thing. You can't stop there. And so what we are saying is that we cannot pay scant regard, because God is almost like God takes it personally when we strive to divert from his truth. So let us not treat false teaching like it is just nothing. God takes it seriously, and he actually work. You know, he brings his hand into the picture in a negative way. You know, the King James used the word subtlety and mischief. You know, I think the NIV uses the word deceit and trickery. And so if we just scan around what is happening, then I would want to ask us the question, when a person would remove a step or two out of the plan of salvation, are they deceiving and tricking people? Yes. 1,000 times, yes. And so when Scripture tells us that baptism doth also now save us, and somebody's going to say baptism does not save us, then that person is clearly trying to deceive us and trick us and mislead us so that we do not hold on to the faith. He is actually perverting the right ways of the Lord. And so what is our approach? What is our position? Well, I put it to us. Our position should be like Almighty God. What has the Almighty God done? He has brought his hand into the picture. Like Elimas in verse 11, "Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee." But not only that, there are persons who would want to trick us and to deceive us to say that they can work miracles today. You know, just a few weeks ago, there was a crusade of sorts hosted at Merle Grove High School. And among the things, they kept advertising on the radio, you know, they talk about expect a miracle. You know, come and expect a miracle. And so people would actually deceive you and deceive us to say that in this day and at this time that people can work miracles. That's trickery and that is deceit. And so if I'm to hold truth to this scripture, or to hold this scripture as truth, then what it is saying is such teachers would have the wrath of God. The hand of God is against such. When one would deny the deity of Christ and tell us that Christ is not God. You know, Scripture tells us that God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So he's saying, just the same way God is deity, so too he is deity. And so when a person would come now and says, you know, he's just a good man, he's not really God, then such person would be deceiving us. Such person would be tricking us. And again I say, behold, the hand of the Lord is up on thee. So what we see is that the hand of God can be a blessing, and the hand of God can be a curse. But what it will be depends on how we relate to Almighty God. And then, don't miss this. It is dependent on how we relate to Almighty God. But equally, it has to do with how we relate to the Word of God. The Word of God. You see, it is easy for us to jump up and say, I love God. But what is our respect for the Word of God? So the audience tonight is much smaller than it was this morning. You know that the Word of God tells us that we should not forsake the assembly of ourselves. You know the Word of God tells us that as women, we should cover our head. And as men, we should not cover our heads when we are in worship. We have to be careful, because what we take lightly may actually cause the hand of God to come down on us. And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. It might not be blindness. It can be other things. All right, suppose I tell you that I'm finished. Yes, that's a lesson. That's a lesson for tonight. Because all, you know, we're just putting the finishing touch. I could have gone that extra 10 minutes this morning and finished this, but I didn't force it. But let us not undermine the importance of the hand of God. Because it works for us or it works against us. But it's all in our power to do so. We invite the song leader to come.
360. Please stand. 360.